Feudal Podcast, and today I have a special guest, Matt, and he's going to talk about his impressions of Halo 3. He's a gamer, and so, Matt, go with it.
Hi, this is Matt, and I'm a gamer. I like to think of myself as more of a casual gamer. I'm not pretty hardcore, like a lot of Halo players out there that I know. So anyway, I just picked up Halo 3, and it's a pretty awesome game. I haven't done a lot of the multiplayer modes yet, but I beat the single player mode in about 3 days, which was kind of disappointing because I was having so much fun, I wanted to keep going. But I guess I beat it on the normal mode, which for me was pretty easy, even with my casual status. So now I'm going back and kind of messing around in the heroic mode, which is the next step up from normal. And then there's legendary, which is way too hard for me when you're playing alone, but there's also co-op modes, which are super cool. I don't remember if there were any co-op modes in 1 or 2 of Halo. I'm pretty sure there was a co-op mode in Halo 2, at least. No, there was a co-op mode in Halo 1 as well, but it was just two-player co-op, maximum.
And what does that mean necessarily? That's different than, like, live, where you play, like, a capture the flag type thing.
Right. The co-op mode is basically referring only to the single-player mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing alongside a friend, and you're just running through the campaign mode. So you get to fight side-by-side.
And is it literally side-by-side, or does it split the screen?
It splits the screen if you're playing on the same box.
Yeah.
But if you're playing online on Xbox Live, then you have the whole screen to yourself.
That's pretty cool.
You can also do it as a LAN. But Halo 3 introduces four-player co-op mode.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Which is pretty sweet. So I haven't done that yet, but it should make legendary mode pretty dang easy if you're playing with people who are as casual as me.
So what would you say causes the difficulty levels to increase? Is it just that they throw more bad guys at you? Or
I'm not sure if they increase the number of bad guys, but I know that they take more hits to go down.
Okay.
You take less hits to go down. And their AI increases. They'll flank you more often. They'll take cover more often. I guess the idea is that they simulate human opponents more closely than just to stand there like an idiot and shoot you out in the open, which is fun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I don't like playing multiplayer online, because Halo 3 and the Halo series has a pretty good stat matching mode, so that when you play online, you're always going to be playing against people who are as good as you, and I don't like that. I like playing against idiots. When you play online, nobody ever stands there and shoots at you unless that's a one out of a million shot.
Everyone's constantly strafing in the lag, right?
Exactly. I hate strafing.
Yes, but you must hate it because it's pushing you, it's forcing you to get beyond your casual level, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And that's not something you want to be doing.
But the better you are, the more it'll match you up against people that are even better and better. So the harder you push yourself, it's consecutive. You have to keep pushing and pushing.
You have to live to win.
Yeah. Unless you take a few rounds where you are that sucky guy who just stands there and gets shot. And then for like maybe one or two matches, the stats will downgrade you, and you'll get to play against noobs, which is super fun.
So you've got the whole HD setup, right? You have an HD monitor on your computer, which is connected to your Xbox 360, which has the HD add-on, right?
Yes.
So you were playing this in its maximum like visual capacity, essentially.
Right. I'm playing it through a VGA cable that I had to buy. Connected to my Dell 2405 monitor, which is a 24-inch. It can do full 1080p resolution, which as of now is the max, and it's super sweet. It's kind of a small monitor as far as HD TVs go.
Yeah.
Because it's primarily a computer monitor, so as long as you sit pretty close, it does the job very nicely.
I would say you're about maybe 3 or 4 feet away. When
usually.
And it looks like it's maybe about a 24
inches.
24, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've also got it connected to a surround system, right?
So right.
You're getting the whole audio experience and the whole, I mean, and I'm assuming that the game is the game 5.1?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all Xbox 360 games, and I'm pretty sure PS3 games too, are natively high definition, and they support 5.1 surround.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Super sweet.
So what do you think about sort of maybe they're both technical, but then there's also sort of strategic and gameplay improvements in this game, or lack thereof, versus Halo 1 or Halo 2 in terms of things you can do that you couldn't do before, just sort of how you could interact with the environment or not interact with the environment?
And yeah, there's some cool technical advancements in the series. With the new hardware of the 360, they're able to do a lot more graphically and with mm-hmm. the AI and the environments. The first thing I noticed when I started playing was that the plants move when you walk by them.
That's right,
which
yeah.
is super cool. You actually feel like it's more immersive as opposed to moving up to a plant and whacking it with your gun and seeing nothing move. But the plants here, the plants move. So I played around with that for like half an hour before moving on.
And I noticed, because last week when you got it, I actually stuck around to see how it sort of looked. I noticed that they've got the whole shadow effect. If you look down and you walk, your shadows kind of get cast differently against different objects.
Mm-hmm.
So they at least got sort of, I don't know if that, is that a 3D mapping issue? Or
I don't know how they do the shadows. I know it's pretty intensive. But
yeah.
Yeah, they did a really good job with the shadows.
In terms of the environment being fully interactive, though, I remember I was complaining a little that there were certain things that, you know, in my own little crazy action movie immersed mind, I was like, well, can you pick up that missile? And like, no, you can't pick up the missile.
Yeah.
So it's not quite at that level of just like the entire environment is
yeah, it's not what you see is what you get, but they're getting closer to that. It seems like they're kind of moving, you know, two steps forward, one step back. Maybe there was an old game a long time ago called Red Faction that had like totally destructible environments. You could take a rocket launcher and you could blow a giant freaking hole in the wall.
Okay.
But they've been doing that recently in games to some degree.
Yeah.
Like there's a racing game that just came out, Sega Rally, Revo, I think it's called. And your tires leave tracks in the road.
Oh,
they take big divots out of the road in the mud.
Depending on how fast you go, it'll do more damage.
Yeah, all this power sliding around, and that's pretty impressive.
But that to me seems like that's the real like immersive. You talk about being immersive; that it's more immersive, obviously, and that's probably the next step in what they're talking about with next gen gaming is this whole like fully immersive environment where you can improvise solutions and really get very strategic in that sense. You know. In the case of a Halo game where it's more like a first-person shooter, you can still add an element of, like, a strategy to it. You know, you could maybe send out three other people or, you know, that are on your team or whatever. And you can, I mean, have they gotten that complex with the AI? Or is that more sports games where you're doing that?
There are first-person shooters that have that degree of complexity as far as controlling your team and coming up with pretty in-depth strategies. I think Halo 3 is a lot more simple, though. In that regard, so there are jetpacks. Though you mentioned jetpacks when you were watching, I haven't found a way to use the jetpacks, but there are enemies with jetpacks.
So that means presumably you can, because you can steal just about any enemy device or weapon, right?
Any enemy weapon, yeah, you can pretty much hijack.
So you're assuming then that at some point you would be capable of getting one of their jetpacks.
I don't know. I just started digging around in the multiplayer maps yesterday, and I discovered several more vehicles that aren't available in the single player mode.
Okay.
So you never know; the jetpack may be available, and
so
that would be totally awesome.
Do you think that the Halo series has kind of become more, less about like a game with a story, and more about like, so it's got the game with a story, but like you said, you completed it rather quickly on normal mode. And but it's more about like these co-op gaming things, or the versus. What is that called necessarily? It's not
the multiplayer.
Just the multiplayer
modes,
where you're on like a TeamSpeak line and you're trying to kill other people and stuff, right?
Right.
You think that's more what these games are even for?
Yeah,
at this point?
That's the direction Halo definitely has gone in. The first one, I think the multiplayer mode in Halo 1 was actually more of an afterthought, and it was so amazing and so popular that Halo 2 and especially 3 are really more about the multiplayer aspects.
Okay.
So 3 has more maps than 2 and more modes and all these different weapons and online features. There's a a map editor mode called Forge, where mm-hmm. you can take a map and change the placement and selection of weapons and vehicles, put them anywhere you want,
oh, wow.
change all the rules of the game, and then you can save that as a preset and upload it for other people online.
Yeah, because it'd be no fun for you to play it. You'd be like the Dungeon Master in a Dungeons & Dragons mm-hmm. game mm-hmm. that then plays the game, but you know where all the secrets are and all the
yeah.
tricks are.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. And it also lets you edit the map with all the people you're playing with mm-hmm. simultaneously, so everybody can just be moving around creating havoc with where the weapons and vehicles
oh,
will
my.
Spawn.
That would be kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. You can up your shields and your health to like 2,000%, something ridiculous.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. It can get pretty hectic, I imagine. I've yet to see it for myself because my router sucks, so that's on my list of things to do.
You get a couple of your friends over and do a little LAN situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that maybe it'll compete with the Wii in that sense. Sounds like that was the big thing when all these new game systems were coming out. There was the PS3, which I don't know, I haven't heard if it's gotten any games that people are really into yet. And then the Wii came out and everyone's like, well, it's cheaper, it's fun, but it's like it's just a bunch of games that you play at a cocktail party with some friends.
Yeah, the Wii seems kind of gimmicky to me. Hmm. It's really fun. I don't know about how much long-lasting appeal it has, though. But maybe that's just me. You know, yeah. It's all subjective. The Wii controllers are really sweet, though.
Yeah, but have they started to finally develop some games where it's like now you're actually using that, like in a samurai game, and you're going around and killing people?
To some degree, not as I don't think it's as customizable as you would think yet, but they're still improving what you can
and
do
in
with
terms
the design.
The technology on the Wii, in the Wii, because it's like a cheaper game, everything that makes sense, right? That it's not as high end as
yeah.
the PS3 or
the Wii isn't high definition, and the hardware I think is about as good as the GameCube system. So it's not really about the graphics.
It's just about that new motion controller.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's targeted more as a family console, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about the PS3 versus the Xbox 360 with the HD, which one's more powerful?
I think technically the PlayStation 3 is more powerful, and I haven't seen much on it, but from what I have seen, it looks pretty much on par with the 360
in terms of its. But it uses Blu-ray as its like high def format, right? As opposed
right.
to HD.
The PlayStation 3 has Blu-ray integrated, so mm-hmm. you can play Blu-ray movies out of the box.
Cool.
Whereas the 360, you have to buy a separate add-on player to play HD DVDs,
mm-hmm.
and I think technically they're pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah.
As far as technical quality, but the way the discs are made and how much they can hold, that's different. So.
And that will also affect how people will interpret it in terms of that technical quality. If it's a bad copy of something then and it looks bad on one version, then they'll just say, well, that version's not as good as the other version, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of transferability between games, has it gotten so complex that it's like, I mean, does the company that makes Halo 3, because Microsoft put out the Xbox basically because the PlayStation 2 had a USB port in it, right? This is the story, right? Isn't this the tale? And Microsoft said, don't put out, otherwise we're going to compete with you in terms of gaming. And so then they put out the Xbox, and now they've got like Halo and all these other games that seem to be like kind of like their proprietary Microsoft games for the Microsoft system. Like, you're never going to be playing Halo 3 with a PlayStation 3, are you?
Right, right.
And you're never going to play it with a PC, are you?
They've brought Halo 1 and Halo 2 to the PC, but
okay.
Microsoft owns much of the PC
yeah,
world
exactly.
anyway, so, but they probably will never be on any PlayStation system.
So, in terms of like the gaming companies and how all that breaks down, do you end up finding yourself kind of like annoyed by the fact that maybe there's some proprietary Sony game that looks fun, but now you have to get a whole new console just to play that game?
Yeah. Some games, yeah, I'd like to play, but there have been proprietary games for every console
for quite
out
a while.
Since the beginning, yeah.
It did seem like for a while there it was going, maybe like right around the time when Sega was popular, that then PCs started to finally really show up in the homes more. Because I would say that even if you go back to like, you know, the Atari and stuff, that the console gaming system predates a personal computer in most people's homes. Does that sound about right, you think?
I'm not the history buff, but that does sound about right, yeah.
And so, like, well, basically, you probably, you know, like, I think we had a Nintendo, like an old-fashioned 8-bit Nintendo with mm-hmm. Mario 1 and Mario 3 and Zelda before we had a personal computer, before we had a computer in our house.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so I'd say you had that kind of phase of console gaming, and then as PCs became more popular and more the rage, and as their processing power started to increase, and it became about sound, you know, you could get cards and you could add RAM and all this other stuff, it seemed like PC gaming became the way to go for a while there. I mean, there was both strategic games and there was even first-person shooters. Like, all the Quake games are PC games, right?
Yeah, yeah. And when Doom and Wolfenstein came out, some of the very first-person shooters on PC.
Mm-hmm.
I think back then, though, PCs were pretty much just as expensive as a good PC these days.
Yeah.
So it was harder to play games on a PC if you didn't already own one, because they were way more expensive than consoles. But I don't know how expensive Nintendos were back when they first came out, or Ataris.
They were like $150. They weren't terrible, but I think you're right. If you have the right gear for your computer, it does add up to being quite a cost. Mm. But it seemed like, well, everyone had this machine because they were doing six other things with it. And then you could certainly upgrade it to make it more of a just plain gaming machine in terms of a computer, but more games were available through the PC. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it seemed like every company that was making games, you know, there was a version of it for the PC for a while there, maybe.
Hmm. I wouldn't say that. There were a lot of exclusive console games, especially with the Nintendo, I know.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of PC ports back then, and there are now. It seems like a lot of the newer consoles these days are pretty much PCs all on their own.
They're just super
they can
computers.
Do everything that PCs can do, but they're a lot cheaper. And since the hardware never changes, it's easier to develop games for them, and so that's mm-hmm. why they can compete with PCs that are a lot more powerful hardware-wise.
Well, that's a good question, then. I've heard about people modding, like, their Xbox to turn it into a, you know, kick-ass computer.
Mm-hmm.
That causes, like, irrevocable damage. It doesn't work as a console anymore if you do that, right?
Or... I'm pretty sure there's ways to crack it so that you can dual-boot, say, Linux,
mm-hmm.
and still have the 360
function
operating system or whatever intact, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But even if you could crack it and put an operating system on it, it would be a pretty kick-ass PC for the price.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what people are sort of getting at in that sense. Mm-hmm. So what's the next sort of thing that's going on? Are they going to do the five, you know, are they going to do another Xbox console here in another year or two? Or what's the next step that you've heard of or maybe read about? Or is it going to start going back into being a fully functional? Because it seems like it's becoming an aspect of a media center.
Mm-hmm.
With the HD, you're now watch all of your movies. You watch all of your HD DVDs from your Xbox 360, right?
Exactly.
On your computer.
Yes.
That's the whole next step. Is it sort of going back to becoming all about PC stuff, and is that maybe going to then broaden the range of games that will be available, you think?
The gap does seem to be closing, but I think they're just going to keep adding more and more functionality to consoles, but they'll never become entirely fully functional PCs.
Yeah.
They still want to keep them separate. It's nice to have the proprietary hardware setups in the consoles, though, because usually everything works.
Yeah.
Where on a PC, there's so many different configurations one can have that it's harder to develop programming for, and it just doesn't always work.
Yeah, I getcha.
Interesting. And consoles are way cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, even though there's proprietary Sony and proprietary Microsoft companies that do... Would you say that of those two companies, like, the games that they do for their consoles are the best of the games? Because there are companies that make games that will come out and you can get it for 360, you can get it for PS2, mm-hmm. or you can get it for PS3.
Comes out for every system simultaneously, yeah.
And
I wouldn't say there's a rule for that. Generally, it used to be, I remember when Nintendo games were always good.
Yeah.
And Sega games were almost always good, but these days, games developed or published by Sony aren't necessarily always good. And the same for Microsoft. Nintendo has a pretty good track record of having really good first-party games.
Well, but what about, like, that Bioshock game that just came out that everyone was all talking about? That was for Xbox, right?
Right.
But that was proprietary for Xbox.
No, it was also on the PC.
Okay.
It came out about at the same time, I think.
So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. And as far as I know, the developer 2K hasn't done anything that I can name off the top of my head. It was kind of a sleeper hit.
But isn't it a sequel to System Shock?
Wouldn't
the developer have been the same? Or
I'm not sure. I don't know if they changed names or if some of the people from the original company that developed System Shock 2 went on to make Bioshock, but I've heard it's spiritual successor. I only played a little bit of System Shock 2, and from what I saw, it didn't look anything like Bioshock, so I don't know where the similarities are.
But Bioshock has all the same functionality, would you say, as something like Halo 3 in terms of the way you played it? It was HD, and it had that
sort of visual quality. Technically,
and sort of interactiveness.
Yeah, very, very impressive, technically. But it has different strengths and not the same features as Halo 3. Mm-hmm. There's no multiplayer aspect of Bioshock. It's just one big single-player game.
And it was way longer than
Halo 3. And there are just different strategies that you use. There's a lot. The way you play the game is different. I wouldn't even put the two games in the same genre.
Even though one's sort of like a first... They're both first-person
shooters. They're both
shooters.
First-person shooters. But Bioshock has a lot more customizability in the gameplay. There's a lot more role-playing features.
It seemed like it had aspects of sort of like puzzle solving and things that were required within the environment.
Yeah, not really puzzle solving, but more of a combat strategy.
Okay.
You have a lot of options open to you as far as ways to kill and maim. Halo 3 is a lot more straightforward. You can only hold two weapons at a time, or two plus one when you're dual-wielding.
Yeah.
And you have four different types of grenades and some vehicles. There aren't any vehicles in Bioshock, but you can hold like eight different weapons at once and then eight different plasmids at once, and there's all these different attributes that you can that you can customize your abilities to. Yeah, it's a lot more detailed. So
it's more of a there's more thinking involved. Is the other one more like responsive in terms of is Halo 3 more like you just have to be good at shooting, have good hand-eye coordination, and know your buttons, and know your combos? And
it's not as dumb as, it takes a lot more strategy and thought than, say, like a game like Counter-Strike, maybe. I don't know if that's a good example. Bioshock lets you set traps, and you're not working with teammates, so the whole team play aspect of it is gone.
Yeah.
Like in Halo 3, but you can set traps, and different attributes are strong against certain types of enemies, like fire and ice.
Cool.
That sort of thing.
So, sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so there's strategies in both. Maybe they're equal in their amount of strategies, but they're definitely different.
Different games, yeah. Okay. So that company that released Bioshock released it for the PC as well, you said. The Xbox version is an HD quality. How does the PC version compare? Is it different at all, or is it just a lower image resolution?
It has the capability to play at, I think, even higher resolutions than 1080p. I did play it on the PC once, and it looked a lot sharper, even though I was playing at a lower resolution. I think it wasn't... 1080 is 1920 by 1080. And what I was playing on the PC, I think, was like 1600 by 1000 or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So it was a smaller screen, but it did look a lot sharper, more crisp. Okay. And one of the first things I noticed was the difference in water quality. There were more realistic ripples in the PC version.
Okay.
So that was a DirectX 10 machine I was playing on. I'm not sure if it's DirectX 9 compatible. I'm not the expert. But DirectX 10 is one of the newest advancements in PC technologies.
That's primarily for gaming, or is that just PC in general?
It's gaming.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly.
And where'd you end up playing that?
That was at New Games. over on K. It's cool. A gaming cafe.
A place.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of PCs set up.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
And they have a copy of Halo 3 there, but they don't have an HD TV that they're playing it on, so I haven't seen what it looks like on
a bigger screen.
Yeah. They've got a gigantic TV. It's just standard definition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school. Mm-hmm. So the crisper image, you probably would prefer that, right?
I mean, it looked like...
Is there a trade-off, though? Like, it's either crisp, but it's smaller, or it's bigger, but it's less sharp.
I guess that's one of the trade-offs. What I noticed, though, was that overall it was a lot sharper, but some areas where the textures weren't as crisp, mm-hmm. you could definitely notice where it had degraded, where it just wasn't up to par with the rest of the sharpness. So I think I enjoyed overall the experience on the 360. Even though it was less crisp, it was more, it had an overall quality to it where nothing was inferior. It was all the same.
Okay.
Yeah, it had a really nice tone overall, graphically.
So what's the next game to look forward to?
Probably, for me, Grand Theft Auto 4 is coming out exclusively for the Xbox 360 at first, I think, and then it's going to come out on PlayStation 3.
They sort of do this bait and switch, wait and...
Yeah, they have some sort of exclusivity deal with Microsoft, I think. They get some big bucks.
So what's going to be the improvements of... This is the fourth Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, the last one was out on the last generation of consoles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So it's been a while then.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The regular Xbox and the PlayStation 2, and it came out for PC. And it was San Andreas was the last one that came out.
What did you think
of that?
The
last big one. There's been a couple more Liberty City Stories or something like that since then. And those were all under the name Grand Theft Auto 3. There was GTA 3, and then there was GTA 3 Liberty City. And then there was, or no, not Liberty City, the other one, Vice City. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was San Andreas. And they all pretty much looked the same, with minor improvements in each sequel. But GTA 4 has taken a pretty huge leap forward, because it's going to be on the next generation consoles. Yeah, so bigger and better overall, and I'm sure a lot of new features and everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's your next one to look forward to.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll have a really interactive environment, but haven't those games kind of been known for that?
Yeah. Lots and lots of things to do. Nothing like blowing holes through walls, but I'm sure they'll come up with some way to expand the series. It's pretty open-ended.
Crazy.
Yeah.